what? You know what, Mike?
What do I know, Tony?
It wouldn't be a 2CGD podcast without a little bit of technical issues.
Let's see if
this microphone lasts the course and if that camera.
Today, I usually, one of the things I should do on a Monday, is when we record this, is charge this camera, and I haven't. So we're living on the edge. Oh, fucking duggin. Do your little twist. How'd you do it?
Twist. Oh, is it back?
Oh, it's so delicate. Yeah,
it's back. Very delicate.
Oh, no. What could go wrong?
I'm going to have to just watch this the entire time. I'm not going to be looking at you guys.
You can do this, Mark. I really believe in you. So we're a loosey-goosey cable.
We do.
And we were about to get the old Blue Yeti out.
Yep.
But you're just going to have to keep a good...
Keep an eye on it.
I feel like, do we need to strap it up? Put some tape on it?
Don't know. Let's just power through.
Okay. If it goes out again, we might get some tape out.
Okay.
What could go wrong?
All
right, Mark. How's your week been, champ?
It's been pretty good.
Yeah. Has it been heaps normal?
It's been pretty normal.
This is called heaps normal.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, tell me about it, dude.
I don't have to wake up at 3 a.m. anymore for a while.
This is so anxiety inducing. Exactly having right. to watch this. We've got a little Zoom thingamajiggy where
there's the little sound thingy. The bars go up and down when you're speaking.
We're very technical people.
Yeah.
So if we're paying, but it's very easy for us just to get in raptures of each other's conversation.
And we just forget all about the technical stuff.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, go on with what you're saying.
I just had Six Nations is done, so I don't have to get up at stupid o'clock for a while. I could see my family again.
Yeah. Did they miss you?
Nah.
Not at all.
Oh, my wife had to wash more dishes, so she wasn't real chuffed about that.
I bet she wasn't chuffed about that.
Yeah.
Poor old Jude.
It's one of the few things I actually kind of customized my wedding vows, is that basically killing cockroaches and dealing with dishes were largely going to be my responsibility.
Really?
She doesn't like cockroaches and she doesn't like doing dishes.
Yeah, who does like doing dishes? But is it like her like pet peeve thingy?
She's scared of the cockroaches.
I feel like doing a cheers. This is my last non-alcoholic beer week.
There we go.
Boom.
And she just genuinely doesn't like doing dishes.
I don't like doing dishes. Sometimes you just got to do them.
I did about 15 minutes worth of dishes today because I let them accumulate.
How about that?
I was the master of my own demise.
Wow.
I put it off and put it off and put it off and then had a shitload to do.
Yeah, fantastic.
How's that for an anecdote? Should we give that a three?
I just can't relax.
No, it's like you've got a gun pointed to you.
I know, we just constantly look, I'm sorry.
I can't listen to your story because I'm watching about fucking dishes.
Yeah, exactly.
As enthralling as it was.
And your dishes lasted for 15 minutes.
Yep.
Okay. What's happened to your beer?
I poured it too early because then we had to twitter around with this thing.
Look at the state of it. Tutu, that's a Māori word, isn't it?
So, I think so.
So tutu means to play with a little bit.
Yeah, to muck around with.
Old people would say to you when you're a kid, stop tutuing with that.
Yeah.
And basically you're just fucking around with it.
Yeah. There's a few words from Māori that have kind of become in the, what do you call it?
Like the vernacular?
Yeah, the vernacular. That's the word I was looking for.
What else would you say? Puku?
Yeah, your puku.
Kai?
That's kaka.
Kaka. Yeah. Kai.
Yep.
I say kai a lot. Kia ora. I often say kia ora. I finish most of these podcasts with haere da.
Yep.
Haere da. What else do I say? I have to speak often, and I start all my speeches, and believe it or not, people have to listen to me speak while I'm in front of them. I know. It's hard to imagine the pain that they go through, but I usually start with a little pepeha. Do you have a pepeha?
Never done a pepeha.
You could do a pepeha pretty bloody easily, though.
Okay.
Do you know how to say, my name is Mark?
My name is Mark.
Yeah. Outstanding.
Bam.
Ko Mark Taku Ingoa.
Oh, I didn't know that. I know it in Chinese.
Well, yeah, I bet you could.
Yeah.
What's your mountain? So I say, Ko Rangi Toto Te Moanga, Ko Waitemata Te Awa. Yeah. Whatever
I know my son's done that at school. My son had to write one when he was at school.
Yeah, it's good to have.
Yeah.
Pepeha.
Yep.
I say my school that I went to, I say my mountain, my water, and then you just say I live in Auckland.
Okay.
And you say, I'm done. Not it, get on with it. Do I sound a little croaky today? A little croaky, a little sexy with it? Speak.
You just want that confirmation. Yeah. You don't want me for my words.
No, I want you.
You just want to see if the microphone's still going. I just want to see if you can
get it barred up.
Oh, yeah.
That we're talking about the volume bars, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a fun weekend.
Tell me about it.
So, it wasn't fun at all. Madison suffers. Oh, my daughter. Oh, shit. I said her name. Okay, anyway. Don't tell my ex-wife I said her name. She gets really bad eczema. I think we've spoken about this before. And we had to do this thing called decolonization of the house, which sounds like fun. Sounds like I'm no longer part of the British Empire. But basically what it means is every surface needed to be cleaned and every hard surface needed to be cleaned. You think, oh, just a bit of vacuuming.
No, that sounds not fun. That sounds like a lot of work.
It's moving. So we had to take all our clothes, all the beds, all the couches outside. Vacuum and wipe everything down like our lives depended on it. Find dust anywhere we possibly could. And then pack everything back in. You know how long it actually took?
8 hours?
20 hours.
Holy hell.
Across 2 days.
I knew it was going to be a big job. That's horrendous.
And there was no weekend. And it was last night. And I'm trying to do hard 75 as well. So I hadn't done
much. You could have used a drink.
I really could. I could have used a drink, and then I had to fit in my 1.5 hours of exercises each day.
Oh, yeah.
After I was done at about 8:30. I had to go for a run in the pitch black last night.
How'd that go?
Yeah, I was all right. I was dreading it because I could not be effed. I ended up doing it. And then I had to do some yoga later in the evening. And then it got to about 11:30 at night. Once I'd finished my run, all the tasks and the yoga, and then I also had to read 10 pages of a book. And I thought, it was about 11:30 and Lydia was like, you want to go to bed? I was like, no, I want a weekend. So I just sat there and I watched maybe like 7 minutes of a YouTube video. And I was like, this is it, Tony.
Was it 2 cents on tour? Which keeps getting suggested. Yeah,
I think it was.
And
I was like, this is my weekend. This is it. Enjoy it, pal. And
welcome to the party, pal.
Mm. So that was my weekend. What a riveting tale that was.
That sounds pretty shitty.
Yeah, it is what it is. You do what you have to do for your children, don't you?
Yeah, my son gets terrible like hay fever.
Mm.
Like, he's a beast. Like, he gets a blood nose, he sneezes that.
Oh,
much.
Really?
It's fucking bad, yeah. But he's the king of the blood nose. He'll be like, achoo! Blood nose! Like, before it even comes.
He just knows, he feels the feel.
He feels it, yeah. I kicked him in the face today by accident when we were swimming.
Did he have it coming?
When we were swimming.
Oh, really?
He was trying to check me down. Yeah, I got it for free. He was trying to track me down on the swimming pool and I accidentally kicked him because, I don't know, he's right behind me. And he was just like feeling his nose. Like, is it bleeding? Is it bleeding? And then he felt the water, I think, trickling down his face. He's like, and he's like, oh, no, it's all good.
Did he get tears?
I asked him, like, do you need to have a cry or do you need a hug or anything? And he was just like, nah, I'm all right.
Yeah, good work.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He's a little trooper.
It shouldn't be a proud dad moment, but that kind of is a proud dad moment. You're like, oh, good on you for not pussing out and crying.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with crying.
No, he's a trooper though.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Mark. We somehow managed to wrangle one more week of sponsorship.
Just barely.
Incredible.
This is like not like a kind of random out of the blue dog walker boxing gym. Like, I know this guy.
This guy is part of the family.
Part of the 2 Cents family. He's been on the channel numerous
times.
Now
he's part of the 2CGD family because he's made it on.
He mentioned
to
me.
Is this on my channel?
I think this is mine.
Okay, yeah, sure, great. Yes, it is.
He mentioned to me that he kind of feels like he knows you
mm-hmm.
because he watches the podcast regularly.
Yes, fantastic.
But you have no idea who this guy is. Not really. You've probably seen him every now and again on the channel.
Might have seen him in a video. Is he the guy that you start to talk? Does he find the stats for the foreign-born players?
No, that's a different guy.
Oh, that's what
But similar video setup.
Okay, right.
He actually doesn't like that guy that much, I don't think.
Oh, a little.
Because he's a Scotsman, and the Scotsmen often score highly on the foreign-born players thing.
Oh, right. Okay. So he's got his own thing going on.
Because guys from like England get scored as foreign.
Anyway,
the UK,
what's the name
of
the bloody thing in the site so I can drop something in?
Sports Forecast.
Boom. It's going to have to be a whistle. Okay, Sports Forecast. Tell me about these awesome people at Sports Forecast. He's written me a fucking script, but in my language. And look, I love you, mate. You're a great pal, but it's about the length of Gone with the Wind.
So War and Peace over here.
We all don't right, have to be. So this is he's written my side, and he's trying to find a voice for me. Basically, he just pictured an asshole and then started writing. It's like, that sounds like Tony. So yeah, great. Appreciate
Let's
it.
Let's settle this once and for all.
Oh no! By the way, this is the scene. This is somebody else's characterization of both of us. So Mark Morgan will be playing Mark Morgan.
There we go.
Tony O'Sullivan is We've myself. I will be playing myself. These are fictionalized character versions of ourselves.
Kind of like John Malkovich playing John Malkovich.
Indeed. John Malkovich?
There you go. John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Let's tell us once and for all, what is the greatest rugby championship in the world?
Well, Mark! You absolute piece of shit. How dare you fucking ask? It's easy. It's Super Rugby, you fuckwit.
He's ad-libbing a little bit.
Okay, I should not swear. Fast, skillful, none of that kick it up and chase that they do in the Northern Hemisphere. They're all just a bunch of frog-eating, sheep-shagging, haggis-eating, toffee-popped ass munchers up that way.
You're going to get me demonetized. Uh-huh. But what about the Six Nations?
Oh, don't get me started on the Six Nations. Poof, overhyped, scrappy, slow. Half the time it's bladed in a bloody swamp. Do they even get sun up there? Oh, there we go.
So you're saying you don't enjoy 65,000 lunatics belting out anthems at Murrayfield? The absolute chaos of a full house at Cardiff. The French doing things that no one understands, including themselves.
Oh, mate. Are the Europeans not into it? Here we go. What are we? Where were you? Hold on. This is when I take a character shift, and this is my character going through an arc.
This is the second act.
I mean, it does have a vibe, a certain Marbo to the thing.
And the drama, Scotland wrecking England's dreams, although not this year.
Yeah.
France and Ireland going blow for blow was a bit lopsided this year. Italy celebrating like they've won the World Cup after one bloody win.
Okay. Begrudgingly, if I had to watch that all paint drying, I would have to say that is slightly more entertaining.
Is that a real line?
I read that line.
Oh, okay.
Did I skip a bit?
No. You just you made it a lot longer than it actually was. I was looking for a long line.
It's like War and Peace.
And the history. 150 years of pure rugby theatre. Super Rugby's what, 27 years old? Hey, I like Super Rugby. Still needs a babysitter.
You're 27, you're still needing a babysitter. That's a problem. Oh. Yeah, well... But history doesn't make it better. No changes there. That was just the line.
No, but science does.
Science?
And do you know who's done the science?
Oh, let me fucking guess.
Sports Forecast!
Woo! Sports Forecast! They forecast your sport.
Rugby data experts have crunched the numbers, modelled the stats, and confirmed what we all feel deep down. The Six Nations is scientifically and emotionally the best rugby competition on earth.
It makes my arsehole pucker. It's so damn good. And sports... I'll tell you what, Sports Forecast, it's part of my weekly spank bank. Look, I don't... that's me sighing.
Right. Says,
look, I want to argue, but if the numbers say it and the heart feels it, I guess the Six Nations can suck my arsehole.
I don't think that was on there.
The Six Nations is the best.
Oh, there you go. You heard it here first, folks, from the big man himself. Now, if you want real rugby insights,
yes,
whether it's predictions, analysis, or just a solid excuse to sound smarter at the pub, head over to Sports Forecast. They do the maths, and you do the gloating.
And if you don't want to sound smarter at the pub, listen to me. That's right. Where are we up to?
This line.
Fine. Six Nations... I'm not saying that.
That's the whole reason he sponsored the podcast.
Six Nations is fine and dandy. The Rugby Championship is high quality rugby teams.
That's not what it says. That's not what it says.
The science says that one championship has, what, 9 World Cups and the other one has 1. Isn't that what it says?
No, that's not what it says.
Fine, the Five Nations reign supreme. Happy now?
That's not what it says.
The Six Nations...
To the line, Tony!
Fine! I am saying this against my will, only for alcohol. I'm not drinking alcohol.
If you're drinking alcohol. Far out.
Six Nations reign supreme. Happy now?
I'm sure there's a...
That's it.
Oh, that is the line. Okay, good. Ecstatic.
Hello. Oh, what is it? Can we at least agree Super Rugby is more fun to watch?
Nope, science has spoken.
There's clear statistics, Mr. Science Man, around the number of World Cups. Okay. Six Nations. Rugby's, one of rugby's championships.
No, there we go.
No, fantastic.
Say the line.
Six Nations. Rugby's... the self-proclaimed greatest rugby championship.
Close enough.
Yeah.
I need those notes for the podcast.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can we cut the... I really enjoyed it. It was great. Really well written. But she's long. She's long. Can we punch it up a little bit more? Make it a little... Oh, no. We've already got 1 week of this, don't we?
If he comes back for another week of sponsorship...
We do. And if anyone sponsors next week, this is going to be the first time in over 75 days where I will have some actual alcohol.
Alcohol, yeah. He wants to make it special.
So I'll be done next week with this hard 75.
There you go. Can I just say... Oh, thank you to Sports Forecast for buying us...
Oh, yeah. What a legend. Thank you.
For buying us the beers. Cheers.
It brought me heaps normal. Thank you.
I'm going with some Cruisy Tui's, which is very kiwi. I appreciate it.
Sorry if I was rude to him in any way during the read, but like, obviously he's a top chap.
Yeah, top chap, all right.
Top chap.
Stick around to the end, I'm going to open a package.
He's going to whip out his cock. He's going to show everyone his meat and two veg.
He's kind of small, but...
Yeah, no, so I've heard that. Okay, Mark.
So, sponsorship is done.
We talked some
the
shit.
The shit has been talked.
How are we going down there? Are you still...
I'm still got sound.
Fantastic.
Will wonders never cease?
I'm going to have to get a new cord.
Some would argue it was better the other way, but...
Yep. Let's hear it, Mark.
There's some Six Nations to talk about.
It finally concluded. It was fantastic. I really enjoy the tournament. Really, really enjoy the tournament. And I know I give it shit, but it does have that massive grandeur and that awe and like the... packed out, passionate fans.
Yep.
We just, the what it has over us is the passion. Like the South African teams do have it. The New Zealanders really have to get pushed to get fired up.
Yep.
You know, we cheer when our teams come out, when there's a, you know, we get a penalty or we get a try.
We
get as excited as anyone else when there's an electric break.
Yeah.
But we're not so great with the Atmos.
I remember that from I may have told you this before, but 2011 World Cup opening game. Not opening game. Opening game against France, though. It was in the pool.
Yeah,
it wasn't the opening game.
I was at that one, too.
Yeah. And there was a corner of French fans
just boom,
fucking
boom,
bouncing up and down. And I was literally looking at them like, I was just like,
it's a
what?
Culture. There's some sort of weird culture.
I was like, what are you guys doing? Is there an earthquake? I was honestly like, my brain couldn't process that fans were supposed to do that at the ground.
Because if you look at Auckland FC, it's a rugby issue because the Auckland FC fans go absolutely
bonkers,
bananas and ape shit. They're football fans and they go for it. But we've just had it bred into us for so many years.
Sit down and watch the game. I can't hear what the referee is saying on my little radio.
Yeah, well, and like it's hard to like get up and get into it when everyone around you is. But it's like it's the rule of the many. You mimic the behavior of the people around you because it's inherently bred into us that don't stand out. Might get abandoned by the freaking flock.
There was a guy at a game I went to last year and he was just dropping one-liner after one-liner at the players, at the refs, and it was great. But everyone was looking at him like, man, what's wrong with you?
Shut up, would you?
Yeah, but he was really funny.
Yeah. I like that. I yell out weird things.
My dad used to do that a lot.
Yeah, what, yell out weird things or yell abuse?
All of the above.
You're blowing the bloody game, ref. All right. Okay, anyway, so great tournament, but should we get to the games?
France had it all to do in the decider. They did.
Should we finish with that, or do we start with that? That's sort of how it all finishes.
Okay.
Should we start?
Well, we'll start with Italy and Ireland.
Italy and Ireland.
That threatened to be like the backlash game where Ireland are doing what France did. But because they didn't. Ireland got beaten the week before. They're going to take out their anger on the Italians.
22-17?
Just barely.
Not so great. And the Italians got this knack.
Goal kicks.
Yeah, and got this knack of scoring first. And they seem to come out of the gates pretty well, but they can't go on with it. It wasn't an amazing game, was it, when you stretch the imagination?
Like, the nice thing that made it entertaining was that it was a nail-biter at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Which is weird. You just do not expect that to be a nail-biter. Like, Ireland looked like the third-place team in that game, didn't they?
Yeah.
They were the third-place team. they had it all to freaking... They had the whole tournament in the palm of their hands.
It's weird because, like, most teams kind of build into the tournament and get progressively better. Like, Ireland at the start of the tournament looked cracking, and it was like, huh, all those November, like, they're gone.
They put away England. They put away Scotland pretty handily.
Yeah, they flogged them. They didn't flog them, but they didn't look under threat, really, against Scotland.
Yeah, yeah. Then they had... They gave everyone hope that the Welsh were coming back because they had a tight-ish game against Wales.
Yeah, but that one you thought when you saw that, like, oh, that's just... That's the bounce.
The dead cat bouncing.
That's not about Ireland. That's more about Wales.
We've seen Wales since.
And then we've seen Ireland since.
Yeah. So that actually just really seems that it was just another step down. It was just an arm wrestle
game, yeah.
I think there definitely was a bounce back of some degree.
For sure. It's part of it. It's a factor.
But they certainly... didn't look nearly as good for the first couple of games. So
it's bizarre. And the Italians had a man down for fucking heaps of that game.
They had a
yellow card, which was the dumbest. Like, that game was game on.
Yeah.
Until Lamaro just slapped that ball down. Like, oh my God, that was
wrong? Like, I know the Italians aren't meant to win. They're not meant to get these massive scalps. That would have been a huge upset.
Yeah.
But they keep putting themselves into positions where they can challenge for games, but not going through with it. Like, is it a self-belief issue or something like that, that they just feel like, well, that's not us. We don't, like, I know they'll be talking it up and talking about their ability and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But you see some of the scores they draw. Like, that first try to Ioane was,
it was pretty sweet.
One of the best tries of the weekend.
Yeah.
But... And, you know, they've got players who can really deal damage.
They've got one of the best midfields in the world now with Limoncello and Brex.
Yeah, I like Brex. Yeah. Limoncello's pretty good too.
Yeah. I don't read the comments on my Team of the Week videos because people usually just get mad. But I did come across one by accident and it was like, you didn't even mention Brex. I was like, oh, shit, I didn't mention Brex.
Oh, mate. You let the whole world down.
I know. Yeah. I was right. I was like, I should have mentioned Brex.
Yeah. Brex is great.
He's good.
He very rarely makes mistakes out there as well.
Mm.
You know, where is, for you, we'll talk about Ireland in a sec again, but where are the main weaknesses in this Italian side? What do they need to improve to be able to, like, start to knock off some of the big boys at least once or twice?
Yeah, part of it's probably just going to be depth, I think. Hey? Like, I think what you're seeing a lot of the Six Nations teams is it's the bench that's coming on and winning the games.
It's a massive swing across rugby for your elite finishes, isn't it?
Yeah, you're seeing some teams which are having to leave the starters out there for 60, 65 minutes. Like, the Scots did it against France.
Yeah.
Whereas France are doing what South Africa was doing, like, last year or even earlier, where they're just like, nah, fuck it, 40 minutes, 45, come on.
Yeah, and you even started to see it in Super Rugby where the Chiefs come on with a massive bench.
That's it.
You
know? So, interesting, eh? Yeah, I think it's the depth. Like, it's, you got to have the confidence that the second guy at 45 minutes is better than the starter. Whereas a lot of teams are still kind of like,
it's an old school philosophy.
Yeah.
Of, like, you know, your best players start.
Yeah.
And when you have to play your reserves, you play them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he's looking absolutely knackered rather than doing it, like, more assertively.
Yeah. And, like, understanding a game and understanding what a certain player could bring to that environment when against some more tired legs or when they want to get dominance in certain set piece or something along those lines. Yeah. But Ireland, is this... Is this the end of the golden age with these retirements too? And, you know, now, you know, sixth and win a couple of years ago, Amani yeah. gone, like...
They are in a bit of transition because, like you said, there's a few guys retiring. They've got a few guys who are still lacking a bit of experience. I do think they've been a little bit slow.
Mm-hmm.
Like most teams at the end of the kind of World Cup cycle, that's when they start to say goodbye to the veterans and start to bring in some of the youth. Ireland's waited a bit longer to do that.
Yeah.
But then also they're tactically changing a wee bit. Like they used to be really possession heavy. Like let's just have 60% possession. Yeah. And let's just go millions of phases and grind teams into the dust. But they've been a bit happier to play a bit more expansively. So maybe they're...
I think they've lost an edge on attack. Like, I'm not talking an attacking edge. I'm just talking they're not as sharp. They're not as cohesive as they've been in previous years. There's been a wee bit more of, like, playing behind the advantage line. Tell your mama say hi. And they're playing behind the advantage line and not having that sort of penetration to be able to bend the line. And then if you don't bend the line, you don't suck in attackers on the fringes, defenders on the fringes, and then there's less space. So people are able to stand back, keep pushing them back, keep pushing them back, keep them outside that 22. Like, and then they have to do, you know, Prendergast will do some sort of percentage play kick that may or may not work, and most of the time it doesn't. And then, you know, then they lose a player like Lowe, who's their rocket boot's gone, and then
yeah, I do feel like when I've been looking at the stats over the last few weeks for Ireland, like, some of their guys who are those traditional kind of like loose forwards who just get the big ball carries over the advantage line have been putting pretty like low numbers, like, you know, not really cranking forward. Like they couldn't find much penetration against the French at all. But
do we have the same proportion? You know, we've got Farrell as the coach of the Lions. Do you think he is still going to go back to his tried and tested Irish dogs? Or he's going to bring a bit more of an English and Scottish flavour to, you know.
I will be surprised if he doesn't go very Irish heavy.
Really, even considering the state of the Irish right now. Interesting.
I think he'll back himself to get what he can out of the guys he knows best. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
But we'll see. Could be wrong.
Could go either way. So, yeah, and Australian, those Australian Super Rugby teams.
Looking all right.
Mark, Wong and then... I can't see. Once I put the Wong in there, it really...
Playing league now.
Played bloody well on the weekend.
Good for him.
Yeah, fantastic. Anyway.
Wales played England. And you thought... If there's a game...
You're going to get up like for England, they love
England have had
English.
A couple of arsey wins. France dropped a shitload of ball. And Scotland couldn't kick their goals.
They could expose them.
Maybe this is the game. Wales at home, they played so well at home against the Irish. Like, look how well they lifted. If they can get that close to Ireland, they could bloody beat England.
Yeah.
They got fucking slaughtered.
It was just so depressing. It was actually got a little sad to watch.
It was sad.
And it was what was depressing about it was...
Even England fans were leaving comments like, I love beating the Welsh, but geez, even I was feeling bad for them.
Yeah, imagine if we beat Australia like that.
We've done that to them in the past, and I've had that same feeling. Like
68 points, though?
We've put big wins on them.
Yeah, but you... That was an absolute brutal, brutal beatdown. And of biblical terms. And the shitty thing is any time there was any sort of hardship the Welsh had to go up against, that's not the word I'm looking for, they just melted. They crumbled. They offered zero resistance. They defended like sheep. They love the sheep up there, less like us
Kiwis.
They
bombed a try, which was, I mean, in the scheme of things, it doesn't really matter, but geez.
It was ugly. Just like... non-existent defense. Just you could tell there was no heart in it. They're playing in front of bloody what is it, 90,000 bloody
something like that, 70,000 or something.
Cardiff, you know, Welsh fans, you know.
Yeah, they keep getting turned over.
Ness from Gavin and Stacey was there for that sake.
I don't actually know what that is, but I see the camera go to her.
Yeah, there's a great show. James Corden's best work.
Okay.
A show from the early 2000s called Gavin and Stacey.
Okay.
Brilliant. I love it. It's about a Welsh person and a English person falling in love and their two best friends.
Cool.
Yeah, it's very good.
Sounds great.
I've really sold it, haven't I? Just comment below if you like Gavin and Stacey. What's a curding?
The British, the English Lucy's are very, very good.
Yes.
Very, very yes. good.
The curry boy, the curry.
The curry's Ben Earl and this guy Pollock on his debut scores a couple.
Oh, yeah, like, he looked all right. Ben Earl, we've smoked his polo a little bit.
Since we smoked his polo, he kind of took a bit of a dip in form. We haven't been talking about him. He's
gone back up. Yeah. Yes, well, let's not talk about him too much. But if he just keeps his brain,
he's really good.
He's incredible. Yeah. He's so good. But he's just prone to
the old brain explosion.
Like at least one bad brain explosion a game.
Yeah,
you know.
But they've been really good.
Yeah. Excellent.
Swamping the breakdown, making heaps of tackles, big carries.
Yeah, he's a.
I mean, England in that game lost Chesham, who's their big tight head lock. So Morrow had to play tight head lock, and then they had to bring in a Lucy to play alongside Morrow. It's like England had disruptions in that game, but you wouldn't really notice.
Okay, so I think the English. Let's talk about the English for a sec. Like the English are going from strength to strength at the moment. I think. They are coming home with a bit of a wet sail. They put a really good performance in against Ireland, who beat them. I know they lost to France, and it was a game that France probably should have won. Actually, and they probably should have. The Scots probably should have beaten them as well.
They beat France.
Oh no! Yeah, sorry. France should have probably beaten them with all the drop ball that they had.
Yeah.
But they got those wins, and they've shaken. Like they were developing this reputation, sort of like the Blues at the moment, of losing tight ones.
Right.
Right. You know, a crucial
last
moments.
Year as well. Eh?
Yeah, they lost. We lost three against us that they could have won.
Yep.
They lost against Australia in the last minute.
Yep.
But they feel a little bit more battle hardened to be able to stay in the fight, and you know.
Starting to turn those close losses into close wins.
And now they're starting to turn those losses into wins, which is a massive, massive, massive feat for them. So that's huge. But boy, oh boy, God, oh God, land of my father. Is it land of my father? No. Bread of heaven. Yeah, bread of heaven. That's a Welsh song. What on earth do we do with Wales? What on earth?
Michael Checker, you think he can fix their problems? He wants to get back into international rugby.
I'd like to say, why not? Just chuck him in there. He'll cause, like, maybe.
I don't know that it can get much worse, so.
And then we're talking in 12 months going,
holy shit, Checker was a bad idea. Yeah. That was so bad. Like they've just lost a series in Japan.
Yeah, it's like, well, they're playing in Japan in mid-year, aren't they?
Yeah, that's it.
So they're. Could Checker be, like, basically seeing a burnt out old car? And just throwing kerosene on it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, like, maybe they need some... But then they tried to go for the stable approach, and then they got Gats.
They got Gatlanded.
And Gatland didn't bring anything. Or do they just not have... You watch these players more than I do. What's their actual quality at Premiership and URC level?
They've got some good players, but they don't have that many players that you're like...
He's outstanding.
Like if you're putting teams head to head, if you're like, oh, I'm picking England against Wales, you don't have many that you're like, you know, a lot of teams, like even when the Aussies were getting beaten by us a fair bit, they'd always have a couple of guys. He'd be like, oh, fucking Michael Hooper would be a good challenge.
Yeah,
you know, Corin Bedia that's at his peak, you know, oh, fuck, he's a unit of a winger. Like they've always had a couple of guys like that, like a Jack Morgan at the moment, but shit, there's so many good, like every team's got good losers.
It's even
so
hard for him to look good.
Like
at the
having good, yeah, he didn't look that good at the weekend either.
No, it's funny but, game this year, I've seen him not look great.
Yeah, but I don't know.
What do you do?
Good coaches can get better results out of players who aren't that flash, though. You've seen them do it.
But we're talking about this level where they're. Coaches should be outstanding. The players should be outstanding.
Yeah.
So if you've got average players coached by good players, average players coached by good coaches versus outstanding players coached by good coaches, then the outstanding players are still going to be, you know, they're still getting more out of them as well.
Yeah.
But they just seemed entirely disconnected, entirely lacking of pride. It wasn't a brave performance at all, and like it's disappointing from that Ireland game where we thought, hey, they could be turning a corner here.
The biggest winner of that game is that Gatland, where he's just like, it wasn't me after all, you pricks.
But it's very, and they cut to what's that name, Jones? Adam Jones? Is Adam Jones?
Yeah, I've spoken to him. He's been on my show.
Yeah, you saw him at the end, just in the next to the room.
Just looked like
a drained, soulless man, didn't he?
Yep.
Poor bastard. It was pretty harrowing shit. And like, what are they on now? 17 game losing streak. There's no way, and they got Japan next.
Who they are one rank above in the world rankings.
God, get a bloody win, guys. Come on.
That's actually going to be a really interesting series because Japan is also rebuilding.
And they're not going to have many lines missing from that.
That's going to be a full strength.
Other than Morgan, maybe.
Maybe.
Although Morgan didn't. Oh, it was Toby Faletau still. He still headed a couple of nice runs. They had some moments.
Yeah, they had their moments. Ben Thomas scored a couple of tries.
Yeah.
But England scored like 10.
Yeah. It was a one-way trip.
I don't mean to be downer on England. You guys played some nice rugby. Tony just talked you guys up. Mm. I enjoyed watching you guys do your thing. Like, England get a lot of stick for playing boring kicking rugby, but they can play. They can play.
They can. I remember I was not quite right, but I predicted them to win this Six Nations.
You did, and you were not that far off.
No. I think they're good. They're a good team.
I thought Ireland, and I was feeling pretty smug after three rounds.
I bet you. My team beat your team, although I prefer Ireland.
There you go.
What? I had a question for you, but it's completely accept me. Don't worry about it.
France was the final game. They played Scotland.
France. They did. And it felt for a second like, France, are you being a bit French about this?
Yeah.
And the Scots were like, oh, the only thing we know how to do is fuck up someone else's party. Sorry about the Scottish accent, everybody. I apologize. That was. Or a lot. It was a game of rugby. What do you have to say about it?
Yeah, that was the first half was in the balance.
It was.
But then once again, I think you see the difference. Like the Scottish props, I think, played 65 minutes. The French were just like, nope, we're going to bring players on much earlier.
Yeah. We've got great finishes here. And then the game kind of elevated to another level.
Which the Scots just like, the Scots threw the fucking kitchen sink.
They really did.
At the French. It was very reminiscent of the Irish, just wave after wave after
so
wave.
So good. So and if that last try just before second half to get them in the lead. That's
it. And the headbutt.
Yeah. Oh, the headbutt try. That was odd. Yeah.
No, I mean like the headbutt from Movaka when he headbutted.
Oh, no, sorry. I was talking. Was there a try over the weekend?
Where that was the England game.
Oh, it hit someone's head. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. A header.
Yeah, that was odd. But yeah, like it looked like they had the French were going to, was feeling a little choky.
Yeah, they felt a bit frustrated. I think that's when Movaka does the kind of headbutt thing.
Yeah.
Because they're fucked off that they're still in the game.
Should that have been a red card?
I can see why they didn't, but I think probably yes. Mm. Because, for me, the whole thing about the cards that I haven't liked when they were so strict on the high tackles and stuff was, almost like you could go punch someone in the face and it's the same punishment as, just slipping up a bit in the tackle.
For me,
that's wrong because...
Being a little bit upright and connecting heads.
Punching someone in the face is deliberate.
Yeah.
And kind of against the spirit of the game.
Well, isn't that a straight red, though?
Yeah, that is a straight red, but it's like the punishments for a while before they had 20-minute red cards and stuff, they were like the same punishment. You'd see someone, not that people ever punched them, but if they did, they'd get like 4 weeks. And if they knew someone to do a head-v-head, 4 weeks. Yeah. It just felt wrong that you could punch someone in the face and it's the same punishment.
Mm.
But I think they've...
it's been a while since we saw a good bit of biff in a game of rugby, though, isn't it?
That's right. But
bring back the biff.
So yeah, for Movaka to deliberately try and do something like that seemed insane.
Yeah, it does. It is an odd
bit of red mist,
maybe, and just that frustration of this is meant to be our big day, and when things aren't gelling,
you're spoiling it.
And it has that sort of reminiscent feeling of like the All Blacks in 2007 or 99 or 2003, where over unbackable favourites, and just it's not clicking. And
yeah.
Why isn't it clicking? It's meant to come right this right. day, and then the panic
starts. There's a bit of handbags.
But then they managed to just ride that fire out and then dominate in the second half, essentially.
If that try, like you said, if that try goes for Scotland and Scotland take the lead at halftime, puts a bit of a seed of doubt, but I still think that French bench is going to win it. Maybe not 35-16, but...
It's interesting. Like, it's a similar... I know we'd say the Scots are definitely better than the Italians, but they suffer from similar sort of ailments in terms of the fact that they start games relatively well. They, you know, put the shits up other teams. They frustrate other teams. But they just don't stick in the fight. And you think that really just comes down to depth and bench for both of those teams?
Partly. I do think both lack a bit of depth. Both only have two professional teams.
Mm.
So you are inherently, I think, in smaller player bases, I think you're inherently going to have a little bit less depth.
Yeah, yeah,
so true. You don't have the luxury of just like, let's just bring on six forwards.
Yeah.
You're more reliant on your starters, especially when you get a few injuries.
For sure.
Like, the French had that guy Barassi a fortnight ago get head knocked against Ireland, so he couldn't play. So they were able to replace him with Gael Fiku. That's fucking cool as shit. That's awesome. You may be even getting an upgrade with your replacement. Most squads don't have that kind of depth.
No. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's like...
And they did this without DuPont as well.
It's like back in the day when Richard Kahu was fighting for the midfield, but then gets injured, and then they like, oh, I guess we'll put on Martin Nonno.
Yeah.
You know, like...
It's nice to have that kind of depth.
Bloody well is.
But yeah, no DuPont. Luku was the guy.
He's got a big old boot, doesn't he?
He's got a quick pass as well.
Yeah, he's a great player. He's a pretty good player.
He's a good player.
I don't think he was quite as good as he was the week before, but I thought he was still, you know, pretty damn solid. Pretty damn solid. And the French, oui. What did you think?
I think it's good because this French squad, I think, has underperformed in terms of silverware. So they needed to get another trophy.
It's good for them to get
a trophy. Might not be a Grand Slam, but up until now, they've only had that one Six Nations. On a World Cup.
You know, it's not a great, not a Grand Slam. And still a relatively young age profile for them, sure, isn't it?
So a lot of guys in their early 20s, mid-20s.
BLBORAY.
Is he the player of the tournament? I don't think they've announced it yet, but he's going to be, surely. He just broke the record for try scored in the Six Nations.
So good. I saw him with a little bit more ball in hand rather than just chasing.
Yeah, he kicked once, I think.
Yeah. Just an absolute freak show at the moment. Maybe the best finisher on the planet at this very second. Would love to see him down in New Zealand, but we're not going to see him.
Probably not. Although there's been a bit of mumbling that they might send a stronger team than is originally.
Come down here and get some wins, man. We're not playing them at Eden Park, are we?
I don't even remember.
They were the last team to beat.
My dad was there for that game.
And they scored that try from the end of the world as well.
Lomu was playing that game. It was his debut.
Lomu didn't play particularly well.
No, it was his debut, right?
Yeah, I think it was his debut series. I don't know if that was his debut game. I think they might have won the series for that game.
We lost to Eden Park in that one.
1994. We were still at primary school.
Just
last year of primary school. And now we're old as fuck. Well done, France. Definitely deserved winners, in your opinion. I think so.
Yeah, I think look at the points difference, look at the tries scored. If not for fucking up that game against England, they get a Grand Slam and they look the best.
Points differential is massive, isn't it?
Well above everybody else.
Yeah, it's a shame DuPont's got a season-ending injury. What is he out for, like 6 to 12 months?
Usually that's the ACL, yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. We said go to Fiji and do some voodoo or something, yeah.
He'll recover fast.
He will recover fast.
But that was the Six Nations, man. I think it was a pretty good tournament.
High five. Rugby's greatest championship. I really struggled to say that in the script.
I know, that's the whole reason he sponsored the episode, just to hear you say those words.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. I feel a bit sniffly. I apologize.
Don't give me any bugs.
I just gave you a high five. I need a tissue.
Don't have one. There might be one in my package, which I'll open up it later.
Well, I'll get it. All right, can we open it now?
No.
And then we'll talk about Super Rugby afterwards.
No,
maybe it's something that's going to assist us.
Super Rugby.
Super Rugby. It was children's round, so we dressed like outdated superheroes. For no reason. I haven't seen a single person on the streets wearing any of that shit.
Yeah, actually, I haven't either. I haven't seen a single Marvel jersey on the street.
It was so great to
if
see.
If you missed it, all the Blues were...
The Blues were Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, the Canes were Captain America, which
because
is weird.
Because it's so dumb, that one. That was the one where we were just like, who was this thing?
Yeah. Iron Man was the Crusaders, Black Panther the Chiefs, and Hulk was the Highlanders.
Which, they have a green alternate strip, so I was like, okay.
Makes sense, yeah.
That can work if you really want it to. But yeah, anyway, the rugby was good.
The rugby was pretty good.
But the outfits were stupid. Oh, before we get into this, did you see the under-20s... Hurricanes versus Fiji under 20s.
No.
You'd hate it because there was a worse kit clash of all time. They both wear white shirts and black shorts.
Wow.
Mm.
It's not good.
No, it's not good.
I have to look it up.
Yeah.
I used to have a wee whinge about kit clashes.
This is the worst kit clash I think I've seen.
Wow.
It just looks like the only thing that saves them, and this is not a racial thing, it's just the fact the Fijians look the way they look. It's just a bunch of like normal looking rugby team, mix of Polynesians, white folks also, whereas the rest
they're all Fijians.
They're all Fijians. So that's how you're told. That's how you can see it.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a massive kick clash. Hard to spot the wingers. Okay. Anyway, rugby. Which one are we talking about?
We lost.
Oh, we lost. It's so
we played all right.
Yeah, we played pretty good. 2 weeks in a row losing one-pointers.
We were predicted to get flogged by the Chiefs.
I think there's a team in there. Just an old winning team.
They're trying to get out.
Let me out. I think we played with a decent heart and pretty high level of skill.
Should we have tried to get closer to the sticks for the final try? Or do you just score the try and then worry about the kick?
You score a try and worry about the kick. Because you got to...
Because if you don't get the try, you don't even get the kick.
Yeah, exactly. If you... What do you think the guy goes? Oh no! I'm not going to score here. I'm going to go back into the field to play. Or they just
well, they had advantage and they went for a crossfield kick, which paid off, and they scored the try in the corner.
And Rico was like, "I'm ready for this. Let us."
Could Rico have tried to kind of sneak back around? Because you look like a dick if you don't get it.
Oh yeah, 100%. Well, you just back your guy to kick the bloody kick, and he off the post, didn't he?
Hit the post.
Number 12, what's his name? A guy on debut, played all right.
So earlier.
He got simpened.
He got simpened.
But yeah, that was shit. Tell me about, I'm sick of them watching them losing. Tell me about the Canes and the Highlanders.
I reckon the Landers should have won that one.
It was a bit of a to and fro battle.
20 points to 18. The Landers had so many chances and just kept blowing them.
Stop it.
The guy Tangi Tau is a man to watch. He is unbelievably quick. And my mum used to work with his dad.
I also do a podcast with a guy whose mum used to work with his dad.
There you go. So also, I'm taller than Bryn Gatland, just FYI.
Yeah, I also did a podcast with a guy who's taller than Bryn Gatland. Am I taller than Bryn Gatland?
One thing I've been meaning to tell you for fucking ages, since last year, I keep meaning to tell you this. Jeez.
I can't wait, this better be good.
It's not that good.
Oh, jeez, you've really built it up.
But I was at, do you know Pack and Save Lincoln Road?
Yes.
So it's a supermarket.
Yes, it is.
Got that name because it used to be that if you packed your groceries yourself, you could get cheaper prices. Now they all make you pack your own groceries anyway.
Yeah.
But that's a New Zealand brand of supermarket.
Is this what you wanted to tell me?
No. So I'm in Pack and Save. I've just bought some groceries and I'm bagging my own groceries because I'm packing them to save.
Bag them up.
In through the front door of the supermarket walks James Parsons.
Oh, yeah.
Former All-Black and current host of the Aotearoa Rugby Pod. Yes. Right? And I'm like, look at that. That's James Parsons.
Yes.
But... the entrance to the actual shopping area is that way.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But so he's... to my left.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I am at the exit. I've already paid for my groceries. I'm bagging. So I'm not where he's going to walk to.
You're a bagging
spot. Right? I was like, oh, that's a shame. Because if he was close to me, maybe I could say hello to him. Not that I'm a hello guy. I don't say hello to celebrities.
He's more of a goodbye guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But strangely enough, he walks towards me.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, look at this. James Parsons is coming close enough that I can greet him.
G'day, James.
So I said to him, what did I say? I said,
the crucial moment.
I said, I said, great show the other night because they'd had an episode and it was a good show.
Yeah.
Joey Wheeler was on that episode. I was going to get into details, but he's just like, hey? And I was like, great show the other night. And he was like, oh, cheers, man. All right. But he seemed distracted.
Oh.
He seemed like perturbed about something, maybe. I don't know. But it's weird that he, if you come into a supermarket, one would think you are there to buy groceries. He didn't walk towards the entrance to the groceries.
Yes.
He's walking towards the exit where I'm bagging groceries, and he's walked past customer service, so he's not returning something.
Is this a glitch in the Matrix?
This is weird, right? Why is he walking towards me? But then he walks to the right further, which is where the exits of the checkouts are. The only other thing that's over there is the toilet.
So went for a shit.
I'm pretty sure he was busting for a shit. And was like, some guy's talking to me, but I just want to take a shit. Leave me alone, I can take a shit.
All right.
I didn't spy on him to see if he went to take a shit. I bagged my groceries and left. But I saw James Parsons. I greeted him, and I think he went to take a shit.
You know, you could have said, saw James Parsons at the supermarket a while ago. He wasn't particularly interested. I tried to say a word, but he was busy. He wanted to take a shit.
Oh, it's been building up in my brain. It sounded bigger than it was.
Well, what an anecdote.
I know.
It's in the top 3,000 anecdotes I've heard today.
Hell yeah. You know it. Let us know if you've met James Parsons and if he was going to take a shit when you met him. But his show is really good. It's so much better than The Breakdown.
Yeah. He seems like a pretty good dude. He's got a good rapport.
I was surprised to see him in West Auckland. That's part of it. Because he's a harbour boy. He's a rich dude.
Why do you think he's a rich dude? Just think all people from the North Shore are rich.
Exactly. There's no way he's stopping at Pack and Save Lincoln Road unless he is desperate for a shit.
By the way, that's a weird spot to go, because my go-to spot to use the loos, the facilities, is a petrol station if I have
to. I would not go to Pack and Save Lincoln Road, but I know that supermarket because I know there's only one toilet.
Yeah, right.
And there's a lot of customers that go through there. I know because my daughter occasionally, yeah, I need to go to the toilet.
Yeah. It was only occurred to me once I had a daughter that there was actual toilets in supermarkets.
I know where most, like all my local supermarkets, I know where the toilets are. Yeah.
Once again, I'm in awe.
Exactly. You should be.
All right. What other games of rugby was there to talk about?
The Brumbies beat the Drua 38-21. Okay. Kind of no surprise in Canberra.
Yeah, right. Great at home, not so great away.
Yeah.
Fair bit of travel for the El Drua.
I feel like they've got the real short end of the stick. They've been like Fiji, Napier, somewhere else. Was it back to Fiji and then Canberra and then next week Perth?
Yeah, it's brutal.
They've really, and then they had to travel in the back of the fucking luggage at 1 week. Like they didn't, the bus didn't arrive. So they ended up literally sitting like where the bags go.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, they've been shafted the Drua this year. Yeah. The Crusaders flogged the Force 55-33.
I didn't change
the
any of my
absolute
guys.
Worst goal kicking you will ever see. From both teams. Like, just terrible.
Just really bad.
Like so many, like, you know, like you know how, like, yeah, you see schoolboy, like, oh, I shanked that. But it was like again and again and again.
Oh, God.
But Macca Springer scored 5 tries.
Wow.
Sever Reese scored 3.
Sever Reese can't stop scoring tries.
And I think Will Jordan got 1. He set up 2.
Sever Reese is such a great Super Rugby player.
The Force, though, they played well.
I've had a thought about Sever Reese.
He dodged convictions a couple of times.
Okay, we're not talking about that right now. But okay. Yeah, stay out of trouble, you wally. But if he developed a pass, like a rocket pass, he could be a great halfback. Because I think in open, we saw a few times when he played for the All Blacks last year, when he got into space, he wasn't quick enough. He was getting dragged down by other people.
He's got a nice infield kick.
He's got quick feet, but you kind of need a little bit more at international level. I think he's got an outstanding game for this level, but I just don't think it quite translates to the elite level. It's just too small as well. Even though he seems powerful when he's out there, he just seems like a different player. You think, oh yeah, he'd be great at international level, but it's just a few years now he's looked like this at Super Rugby level, and then just looked
not quite the same.
Not quite at that level when he gets to international. But I was thinking, can you imagine him with a rocket pass, just nipping around their fringes and stuff, taking those opportunities at heart? Because he's small in stature, he's a good size for a halfback. Yeah. Anyway. Just a thought.
The Force scored 33 points, which is not bad.
Did my boy Potter score?
He did.
Expelliarmus.
Bingo.
Fantastic.
They're playing some nice rugby, but they're not getting the wins. And the Reds beat the Tars. The Tars got their first loss, 35-15. So every side has now had a loss, and every side's had a win.
Jeez, we've only had one.
Yeah, so I've won a Pacific and the draw. That's where we're at. Former reigning champions.
Reigning champions, reigning shit right now. All right. What do we got now?
That's it. Oh, yeah, package time.
Package.
Leave so it in my man Simon.
Yeah.
He's heard us talk about other sports.
So I thought this was just for you.
It is for me. Yeah, but okay. We might be able to put it up somewhere.
Okay,
I don't know.
Yeah, let's have a look.
So, yeah.
So let's talk about other sports.
You know how every now and again I've mentioned that I watch some sumo?
Yeah.
So he was in Japan recently.
Is that a sumo thong?
It's like a sumo souvenir. It's not a mawashi.
Oh, right.
But it's a sumo souvenir.
Let's have a look at the sumo.
I believe
souvenir.
They sell like little keepsakes for like the different wrestlers. Like if you've got a favorite
wrestler.
Do you
know what this is? I was trying to guess. I said it was a key ring, cock ring.
I know it's some kind of like souvenir that they sell at
Give
the sumo.
Give us a bit of
event.
ASMR on it.
It's an envelope inside a package.
The old double package, right?
Double package.
Give it a rip next to the thing.
Hey, and it actually says he's written the wrestler's name. That's the name of the wrestler.
Wakataka Kage.
That's him. Yeah, he asked me who's your favorite sumo wrestler, and I said Wakataka Kage.
Yeah.
So he, I believe, has bought me a Wakataka Kage souvenir the way from
the land of the
rising sun. What is this?
Fabulous.
It says, best of luck with your YouTube podcast, Simon Big Fang from Canada.
I said, what? Well done. This is definitely a gift for you. Simon, he's look a big that. Fan.
Someone's doing a burnout. Wakataka Kage.
Is it look?
It's a little like badge.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah, it's a fridge magnet. It's a fridge magnet.
It's not focusing, it's just
trying. Oh, sorry. Oh, there we go. There you go. Look at that. That's Wakataka Kage. I like Wakataka Kage because he's not as big as some of the other sumo wrestlers. He's kind of small for a sumo wrestler. He's only like 130 kilos.
He's diminutive.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool. I'm going to put that.
Put it on your fridge, mate. You're. Okay. Pretty cool.
But he watches the podcast. He knows I watch sumo because of the podcast.
It's a good quality magnet. It's got a good bulge.
It's real thick. That's what she said.
It's not about your length. It's about your thickness, fellas.
So thanks, Simon.
Legend.
That's awesome.
What a legend.
He also said he may sponsor the podcast one of these days.
Wow. Feel free. We're sponsorless tomorrow. No, next week.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know if the rugby forecast is going to come back after.
Well, he might.
Yeah, thank you, Rugby Forecast, for sponsoring today's episode. We do appreciate
it. You must have seen them before because the ad read said Sports Forecast.
Yeah. And what did I say?
Within Sports Forecast, they have different forecasts, including the Rugby Forecast.
Oh. Yeah. So how do you know that I've seen it?
Because I often mention Rugby Forecast.
Oh, okay.
In the videos.
Right. I'm sure I've seen him, and I've been very impressed with him every time I've seen him. He's a very impressive individual. It's a very impressive website. Is it a website?
Yeah, it's a website.
It's impressive.
By the way, Wakataka Kage was winless this tournament thus far, but he had his first win the other day.
He got one off.
He was like none from
he
four.
Got one off. Fantastic. Yeah. All right, what's there to look forward to for this week of rugby next week?
Well, Super Rugby's in action.
Still
and then
cranking
club,
off.
Club Rugby gets back into things, so it's a kind of dry time. it's a good time. But,
these are the lean times.
Test Rugby is honestly where a lot of the interest lies.
Also, if you've been watching to this point, we should probably talk about this earlier because it's a big drop off by this stage of the podcast.
Yes.
I don't know why, but our 100th episode will be coming up maybe in sometime this year.
I did mention that on the stream the other day when you mentioned, and
yeah.
There were two suggestions.
What were the suggestions?
One was do the podcast while running.
Rugby.
And I forget the other one, but it was in a similar vein. Someone's really doing burnouts in your area.
We're at the end of a street. Maybe we do burnouts and do a podcast. One while running, one while pissing, a urinal. That'd be an interesting one.
Do it from a urinal.
Yeah. Okay. If you've got any suggestions on what we should do for it, well, to be honest, it's a relatively limited for. Once I asked you that, I was like,
we could get on the spirits.
Oh yeah,
that always makes things interesting. Should we make a
for the 100th and make it a saucy one? Saucy.
Yeah.
You might have to get the bride to drop you off. Oh, is she driving? Oh,
yeah. I could always get an Uber.
Yeah. Anyway, saucy boys. That's what we could be potentially. But look. Do we have any previews of anything to do for next week? Or is it just the rugby will happen and we will react to it? And if you want to listen to us react to it, you have to tune into this podcast called...
2 Cents Gets Distracted.
It's a rugby podcast.
And it's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
And iHeartRadio.
And the other ones as well.
Yeah. Wherever you get your podcasts.
And the camera's still recording and my microphone is still going.
Against all the odds, we may have successfully made a podcast.
And I have Wakataka Kage.
Wakataka Kage. Yep. And I'm very pleased for you. All right, okay, I'm feeling tired. Do I look tired?
It's the end of your long, what is it called? Your hard 75?
Hard 75, I'm on. This time next week, I'll be done.
So Warriors had a win.
Fuck yeah, they did.
It's got you revitalised.
Yeah, they bit the Manly, who looked really good the week before. And then in a massive upset, the Roosters, who looked like dog shit in the first round and lost a lot of key players.
Mm.
That's Mark Nawanitawasi's team. They bet the four-time defending champion Penrith. It was, I think it was 4 points or 6 points down at the end. But, massive result. And Mark played bloody well.
Really good old, good name.
Yeah. He looks pretty good in that sport. I'm going to show you a headshot from that game that the commentator's like, that is bullshit. And it's a red card every day of the week.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Anyway, well done, Mark.
We got the Crusaders this week.
Oh.
At Eden Park.
Come on. Should we go? You could come around and watch it.
Yeah.
Stream. I could have a drink.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I can't. I can't. Almost. I'm still being my hard 75. Sorry, pal. You seem very excited about that.
You're much more fun to be around when you're a half cut.
My mum tells me I'm a fun guy when I don't drink.
Really?
Yeah, she's like, you don't need a drink, Tony. You're a fun guy without alcohol. That's what she's always told me.
Yeah. My mum's also like, yeah, your YouTube videos are really good, Mark.
Our mothers, I don't know whether they're deluded or they're just trying to bump us up. Probably big. Your videos are great.
I'm sure they are.
Almost 100,000 subs.
That's all right.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty bloody good. Take that, mate. All right, let's wrap this up. Well done, Mark. We're just shaking hands.
Let's do it again.
There's double shake. Yo, double shake.
Oh, get it.
All right. I did. See you later.